Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Gilcast, the one week of the year we do it live. It's cash game week. It's a national holiday here on the program. I'm Davis Matic, of course, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. But as always, in the final regular season week of the year, the cash game king, Peter Overzet, you're here, bud. Hear ye.
Yeah, I mean, maybe gonna have to do a second run of these hoodies that say cash game peasant on it after this week. But it's really about the friends you make along the way, right?
Well, and as you know, you can't lose more than 50%. So as long as you keep martingaling your entries, then, you know, we'll be good. Well, you just got to play. You got to play showdown cash for Chargers Raiders tonight. Two kickers, two defenses, and, you know, Peyton Barber and Justin Jackson. Get it done. No problem.
What would it be? How many people you think are galbraying the full kneel down lineup?
I'm not gonna lie. I just went and opened up the $33 single entry, and I was like, "Do I hate myself enough to go two kickers, two defenses, and the backup quarterbacks just to do it?" Because if you think about it, obviously the margins would be the quarterbacks would get negative rushing yards, right?
Yeah.
So you'd have to play guys who literally would get zero to have, because the nut lineup for the kneel down game would be just the two defenses. But I didn't end up doing it. It's probably marginally plus EV to put that lineup in the $100,000 to first contest or whatever, though.
Coward.
It'd be like a 3,000 way dupe if that hits.
I mean, yeah. So guys, we're here. The Gilcast did take down the Tilt Space, which everyone, if you have not listened to that yet, you can go back and recap that.
What a sweat.
It got sweaty for a little bit until Cooper Kupp. Had Cooper Kupp not gone full Cooper Kupp, we would have been up like 8 points going into overtime, and that would have not been very fun.
The thing about Cooper Kupp, though, is that he always goes Cooper Kupp. Like, he failed in like zero games this entire season. He's so good.
Yeah. No. All right. So let's open up the four man. The whirling dervish. He laid Sammy. You laid the pipe down. You played Taysom Hill, David Montgomery, Dante Foreman, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Marvin Jones, Tyler Kroft, Patrick Taylor, which was just the team that we played in the contest against.
That's right. So not only did I win us $1,000, but also you guys all tasted my ass in a week. It's just so good. Like, this is amazing. I'm so glad we're finishing things up like this.
Yeah. And then Nate, you are going to finish second. You played Huntley instead of Taysom, which did not end up mattering.
Fish.
Montgomery, Foreman, Taylor, Kupp, Jefferson, Allen Robinson instead of Marvin Jones, Cole Kmet instead of Tyler Kroft, so anonymous, I forgot his name, and then the Browns defense.
He did.
I played Huntley. So what I did is I got to remember what I swapped off. So I played Huntley, Jonathan Taylor, Patrick Taylor, Cooper Kupp, Christian Kirk, Allen Robinson, Cole Kmet, and Keyshawn Vaughn, which I then swapped in the Browns defense. And Pete, you played, which is interesting because this year we didn't do any strategy talk. You weren't in the group chat, so I didn't know what you were going to flip over. You played Taysom Hill, Jonathan Taylor, David Montgomery, Cooper Kupp, Cyril Grayson, Marvin Jones, Brevin Jordan, Patrick Taylor, and the Browns defense. So what I'm curious about,
you,
Pete,
you did play Marvin Jones Jr.
I did.
So what I'm curious about is the lineup construction convo with the Tilt Space and why you felt strong enough to place a different lineup.
Yeah, so obviously the big difference in you guys were on Jefferson with your lineup. Leone was big on Jefferson. I really just wanted to get to Taylor and Kupp. That was kind of, yeah. So
those are my want plays, sort of. Yeah,
the thing was, I think I was going to get off of it before Patrick Taylor opened up, because I was going to have to play like ESB or, you know, Zylstra, but that was going to be a gamble with the 4 p.m. stuff. So I think I was going to get off of it. And then the Taylor stuff opened up and I realized I could do it without a true punt wide receiver. Obviously Grayson ended up being like, he should have been priced at 1K, instead of 4,400. So that backfired, but like, ultimately I was happy with how this lineup clicked together. Leone was keeping me from getting off of Montgomery, 'cause I was like, I just don't like David Montgomery. I didn't want to play him. And then everyone just kept telling me how good of a play. So I was like, fine. So once I could get all these pieces to work, and get Cup and Hill and Taylor and Montgomery, I was like, fuck it, let's just roll.
I mean, that is generally that is how it goes for me most Sunday mornings. Well, it was because if anyone listened to the show that we were doing this morning, it was sort of stressful because I'm like trying to make my team at the same time that I'm making this team with these two guys. And I mean, obviously, you know, in the the Rams just lost to the 49ers.
Did they?
Stafford threw an interception trying to.
That's awesome. I live in 49ers country, so my friends are pumped.
They were trying to get my lineup there. They were trying to give Odell Beckham a touchdown to make sure that my lineup got across the finish line.
Never gonna happen.
It didn't quite get there. So obviously the thing that we did correctly in hindsight in the Tilt Space lineup was playing Justin Jefferson instead of Jonathan Taylor, which really, I mean, what the fuck? What the fuck, Indianapolis? How do you lose?
First off, this is an all-time chokeopotamus moment for the Colts and Carson Wentz. Like, Carson Wentz should get cut. Like, it was so bad. But I have to give credit to Nate Noling because he was the one that was on this lineup construction. Nate, you were the one that really got us. It wasn't something I was really considering, is getting Jefferson and Cup in this.
Yeah, I didn't consider it for a second.
I thought Kirk was like such a good play that it was like, oh yeah, we just lock him into the wide receiver two and we build around that. What kind of got you there? Because that's what really made the difference for us in the 1K and then ended up making the difference for me and Cash also.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it starts with, obviously I love Jefferson in a vacuum. And I think the reasons why we talked about on the pre-lock show, but the running back value this week, I felt so good about that. It was really the 2v2s that put me on the Jefferson side of things, because I felt really, really good about Foreman and about Montgomery and their workload. And I just thought getting up to Taylor and sacrificing Montgomery or Foreman was not worth whatever receiver I was going to put in at that point, and getting off of Jefferson. And I think obviously the Foreman and Montgomery thing didn't like smash the Taylor's players like where they should have, in my opinion. Like Montgomery and Foreman
ran so bad, bro. Like, so bad.
I mean, these guys, the volume they had, this should have been 20 plus for both of them. So it didn't really work out, but ultimately my theory was just, the thesis of the play was just the running back value was so strong. Like, you can play Jefferson, you can play Cup and fade Taylor and be okay. So yeah, the Patrick Taylor thing really was the key to getting us both Cup and Jefferson. 'Cause I don't think
there was no way to do it without Patrick Taylor or a $3,000 wide receiver. The Equanimeous St. Brown play, which never materialized.
How insane is it in week 18, in the crazy COVID year of our Lord, that we couldn't get like one 3K wide receiver who projected decently?
It's awful. It's awful. Like, we couldn't get Isaiah McKenzie even for 4.6 targets. Like, there was just nothing. It was, I mean, I was looking at all sorts of guys. Like, I was trying to talk myself into one point, Brandon Zylstra opening up the entire slate. It's like, well, he did play 71% of the snaps the week before he went on the COVID list. And their other guy, Shai Smith, was on the COVID list. So I was like, oh, Zylstra, baby. Robbie Anderson's not going to play. That was the other thing that was pressing me, because we had two potential late things, one of which would have been because James Conner was coming into this game with a heel injury. And I was pretty convinced that if James Conner didn't play, that Eno Benjamin was like the stone cold smash. I wonder, did another running back even get a touch in this game?
I mean, Eno would have been
seven carries, yeah. So Eno would have been the guy.
He would have been the better version of the Taylor play, because he would have played the whole fucking game.
Yeah, I mean, the we don't talk about GPPs on this show. This is cash game week, but if there were bros who ran Patrick Taylor really heavy, they got trucked today. what can you do?
Well, I mean, no running back, no running back really damaged you.
Yeah, I wasn't considering Patrick Taylor before we got on the show this morning. So
I know you got lucky, dude.
I mean, but yeah, I mean, I did. But then I just run good. You know what I mean? It's, you know, it's all good. But like, I also ran like super bad today because like Foreman ran super bad to not get there. Marvin Jones was just sort of the bonus, and Taysom Hill was on his way to a smash. Like Taysom Hill was going to get it.
Yeah, Liz Frank injury for Taysom Hill. So does that mean Trevor Siemian is starting a playoff game? Is that where we're at?
No, the Niners won.
Because the 49ers won. Okay, yeah. Well, thank God.
Yeah, no, it's but like we, Nate and I, or Davis and I stand pretty hard against Nate that
Taysom was better than Huntley.
Taysom was better than Huntley. I feel pretty justified in that.
He was awful, dude. Huntley, like, look, I like Huntley and I think he can, I don't know, like some team should trade like a fourth round pick for him or whatever, but he was awful. And this was just like the classic, like, obviously this game was going to be disgusting between the Ravens and the Steelers.
But that's exactly like what set up well for Huntley and his skill set. Like this is no, what the running, the pocket was going to fall apart and he would have to run. And he didn't get the bonus. He didn't get the 100 yards, but he was close. And it was those plays where the pocket falls apart and there's,
but you gotta add two touchdowns in there. And I didn't know if there were two touchdowns available and there were not.
And you also have to understand that TJ Watt is going after the all time record. Okay, I cannot
abide by this.
You had to be worried that TJ Watt was going to wreck his day.
Pete, we realized after lock that part of Sammy's anti Huntley bias was like fed into this narrative that the Steelers were like really juiced up today because one of their players was going for a sack record,
a 22 and a half. It was a half sack record. It was a 22 and a half. Sammy had this take that we had no idea. I wish he would have said it because it would have made me feel even more confident.
You know what? My biggest regret about the Tilt Space Gilcast head-to-head beef was that I didn't hang out in the Gilcast group chat all week.
Yeah, you didn't really get the full experience.
It's also because I used to have my iMessages on my iMac, and so then I could just converse with you guys, but then I switched to a PC, so now I only have that iMessage group chat on my laptop, and I never check it anymore, and then I was like, oh shit, I'm probably missing out on hot Gilcast conversation this week.
I think if we release the transcripts of the group chat, we could sell it for money. Like, people would pay like $4.99 for it.
Honestly, though, if it wasn't for the Taylor thing, we would have been screwed today. I did not feel good about any of our builds up until I got the coach.
Well, we would have had Christian Kirk, I think, who sucked.
Yeah.
And
I probably would have had Kyler.
No, dude, I think we would have played Tyler Croft. I seriously think when we would have got on the Zoom call, I think we would have been like, let's play Tyler Croft and let's play Keyshawn Vaughn, and it we probably would have played Jonathan Taylor.
I was not playing Keyshawn Vaughn.
I wasn't playing Vaughn either.
You guys are fish, bro.
You're a fish.
I maybe would have played Michelle. I mean, I don't know. I would not have played Vaughn. Vaughn was like the fifth or sixth running back for me.
It was really hard to parse out all the 6K running backs. Michelle, Singletary, Connor, Foreman. I guess DeMont was like a step above that, but like I thought it was pretty hard to figure out which of those guys we were gonna play.
All right, take us into the lab, Pete. What was the Tilt Space lineup construction?
Yeah, we need to know.
We need to know because we didn't get to see behind the curtain.
Yeah, so I mean, I basically knew I was gonna be playing JT in mine, and so then when Leone was pounding the table for Jefferson, I was like, and I got the thesis of it. It made complete sense with the value at running back. I mean, you can't go into cash game week and not just play the best plays. I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Well, it is, but you're also supposed to play the most value. You know what I mean? You gotta understand the landscape of the slate. You gotta feel out where the pockets of value are. And
Trust me, Sammy, I had sorted for value on like 16 different sites and it was just Cyril Grayson, Cyril Grayson, Cyril Grayson. It is ironic too that I had exposure to like six or seven running backs across, or five or six running backs across my two head-to-heads there. And it was the ones that I didn't play. I mean, like Foreman should have been a smash, Singletary smash, Gibson smash. I stared at Singletary and Gibson in the Blitz Optimal all week and I was like, yeah, I think I'm good, dog.
I I didn't want to play Singletary. His last touchdown is what ended up giving me the blade. Despite having this is one of the better swaps I've ever done, because I realized I was behind with Huntley, and you
only played Huntley so you could swap later, I think, subconsciously.
No, I only played Huntley because I couldn't make I couldn't find a cheaper wide receiver than Allen Robinson, where I should have just played Keelan Cole, who was in the shell this morning.
Keelan Cole got there was so frustrating. Davis, you didn't realize you were behind. You start from a mental state of being behind. You build planning on losing.
Yeah, mentally weak. Mental weakness.
You got to be like me and Sammy and go into these afternoon games and go
not having a clue what's going on. You've already played the best place. So I swapped Kupp, Kirk, and Keyshawn Vaughn to Tyler Lockett, Odell Beckham, and Alvin Kamara. And buddy, it was so close. Odell catches a pass on the Rams' first play from scrimmage, and I'm just like, buddy, I'm rich. Tyler Lockett, 43-yard touchdown, rich. Alvin Kamara has 60 yards rushing at the end of the first quarter, and I'm just like, I'm counting this Glansky Bucks. And Lockett did score again, but didn't get the bonus. Kamara got the rushing bonus, but never scored a touchdown. Like it was so close to being to the Tyreek Hill swap that I made in week one, that because obviously it was the best swap I've ever made in my life.
but wait, how many points did he put up that week?
Dragon ever since. He's just like, I gotta have a swap. Like the dopamine that's going through Davis.
Honestly, Davis, you would have been more profitable if you would have lost week one. And that was swap, and you wouldn't have.
I don't think that's true. I don't think I had any swap this year where if I would have stayed, I would have kept the smash. I think it was.
I don't think it's true either. Like I definitely think that Davis was the king of swaps this year.
Nate, I just took mine out to the trash this morning.
It's mentally weak because I have to like find a place to throw it out. Like you can't just take it down into the dumpster. You have to recycle
it somewhere. Do you live in apartments?
Yeah.
Oh, tough
scene, we realized this morning that we can't just like, or a couple days ago that we can't just like.
Bro, out here in suburbia, they just come and pick it up for you.
Yeah. You just put it out on Tuesday morning or whatever. They come get it. I was out in my backyard, axing mine, you know?
Yeah, not that much.
An axe and a half, but
if you think I own an axe, you are sorely mistaken.
Dude, I own an axe. What you gonna do? No. Yeah, and axe it, and then saw the rest. Anyway,
Nate, you live in the Great White North, and Sammy is from like liberal California, and he's outworking you, bro.
You don't. It's wild.
Pete, is your Christmas tree still up?
It actually is. Yeah. I always put it up late. Like I think it was a year or two ago. We just forgot to put it up, and then just didn't put it up. So now you got to milk it. I think you get it through January. It's still cold out. It's snowing. The ambiance is there. I'm on Team Nate with this Christmas tree stuff,
dude. It's like negative 20 out. It's still cold.
Where do you live, Nate?
Minnesota.
Okay.
Nate, don't you have an HOA or like a property management group that takes care of these trees for you?
I gotta email them and see what we're supposed to do. I don't know.
Nate's gotta retie it on the back on the top of his car and drive it back to where he bought it from.
First year getting a real tree. I don't know what we're gonna do.
So Pete, who is in the driver's seat for the tilt space? Who was saying like this is what we're playing?
How much
did Holka care? How much did Holka care?
Holka cared. Yeah, he cared.
Wow. I don't believe that. I think Holka just like smashes GPPs.
Yeah, Holka's just here. He was just along for the ride.
Holka cared. And I mean, the main thing was really just debating. Like, I really wanted to, like, I had floated getting off of Montgomery for Foreman just because I was like, I don't want to pay $6,800 for David Montgomery. And Leone, I said him, I have fish for not wanting to play Montgomery.
We had the same conversation. Yes. I didn't want to play David Montgomery either.
It seems like you and me were at lockstep this week, Davis, and that was not the right side of history.
Well, I was not gonna play Cyril Grayson, who is not a football player. I mean, he's a track star.
Well, so. Here's the other thing too, and this honestly probably was my biggest leak because we had two of our tilt space head to heads. So we were talking through the swaps and stuff. And I ended up only getting, I swapped one of my $100 head-to-heads, like from the Taysom Cyril Cup to it fit perfect for Kyler, Kirk, and Metcalf. And I probably should have done that on more of them. Did you end up, you global swapped, right? On all your shit?
Yes. Yeah. Because I thought, Davis. It's hard to say because probably against Huntley teams, I wasn't, but was I going to go through like 200 head to heads and go individually identify which guys had Huntley and which didn't?
Davis, you were dead.
Yeah. No. Dude. No. Your team was.
No, that is not accurate. It was such a low scoring slate. Like
you were like 25 points below the cash line at the afternoon lock.
No, I wasn't. No, I was not. That is not true because I played. Because
you didn't play Marvin Jones.
Patrick Taylor.
You
Patrick
played
Taylor,
Jonathan Taylor.
Patrick
you didn't
Taylor
play Jefferson.
19% owned though, and he scored more points than David Montgomery, who I didn't play. He scored more points than Foreman, who I didn't play, and there was another early running back bust who I didn't play. And so Patrick Taylor outscored all these busts, which is why
you didn't play Jefferson or David Montgomery.
No, Davis, you were like 20 points below the cash line at the lock.
You were dead. That is not true, but I was definitely behind. I was definitely behind, and so I knew that I needed a swap. And maybe the smarter thing would have been to have like maybe even a different swap against Huntley teams, like Debo over Cup or whatever. Against Huntley teams, but I wasn't doing all that. I just global swap. Peter?
What did you ask? I pulled a Davis and got distracted.
I thought you were starstruck getting to see the bickering between the three.
Yes,
of us.
No. I mean, the only thing I get to hold over you for being a fish was not playing Marvin Jones. That's the only one up I got on you.
Honestly, Sammy,
I have to ask seriously, did you get on Marvin Jones because of Marvin Jones or was it you didn't
the
want
incentive.
Three bears?
No, it was like, the incentive. Guaranteed no, it was the incentive.
Was, Sammy hates
He was playing. A lock for four catches, right, Sammy?
Stone lock. Stone motherfucking lock. Like, look, it was a little bit of both, right? It was that I didn't want to play Allen Robinson because all of a sudden and Komet, because then all of a sudden you have three bears in a lineup. Headed by Andy Dalton. And it's like, no, that's a way to burn your money on fire. And so it's like, okay, well, who else is in that range? Well, it's Marvin Jones Jr., who's the guy, right?
And that was it. There was no one else playable. There was like Donovan Peoples-Jones, and that was it.
Right. And he's got the incentive. He's got the incentive. Like, it just made too much sense. And the fact that you guys didn't see this is just like, man, how'd you not get there? Like, we decided on it. We figured it out 2 minutes before lock in the 1K. Yeah. And
that's no, you the are, exact you are, you are, 100, you are 100% correct. Because lock. Andy Dalton threw 50 times today and Allen Robinson had two catches for 20 yards.
Like he's dust. Whatever happened, it's over. It's like he drank from the wrong Holy Grail or whatever, but he's like an 85-year-old man out there now. It's over. Like whatever.
The list of guys who were more involved on offense today than Allen Robinson is like really impressive. Like,
I don't even want to pull the air yards data. I'm so like, I haven't even run the script. I normally like run a script.
You cannot eat on Whopper. You know this.
He's a Whopper Junior now. It's not the number one Whopper on the menu anymore.
So Pete, you didn't even play an entry in the spy.
No, legit. Only
legit cash. Just cash game week
legit only I mean I guess if I played it every week I would do the thing too, but I spent like between and you guys did your call and stuff too, like how would you have had time to one make your own cash game lineup, two make your Gilcast group cash game lineup, and build good GPP teams? And that's me every week just with tournament teams trying to build three lineups, four lineups with those guys and build my own all after inactives. It's fucking stressful.
Well, it's really easy, Pete. You just don't make good tournament lineups. That's how I do it, right? Not a problem.
It's kind of how we all do it.
Yeah,
none of us have.
Hey, no, do not lump me in. I was very close to binking the red zone twice this year.
Yeah. Just a couple of 3v3s away, and Davis was there.
No, I was like one. I was the one week. It was just Leonard Fournette's fat ass not being able to catch a touchdown that was in his hands, away from the bonk. Would you be intrigued to know that in the 100K to first spy, Josh Allen was 5% owned this week?
Seriously. What was the winning tournament lineup? Like, I don't even know.
Let's go see. Cause I have no idea.
It was wild. The lineups that won, I looked briefly and it was like different QBs in each of the top 10 teams. There wasn't one team.
This is the lineup that won the 100K to first spy.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, single stacked with Gronk, no bring back. Devin Singletary, Antonio Gibson at running back, Tyler Lockett, Darnell Mooney, Marvin Jones, AJ Green, Dolphins defense.
AJ Green finish with?
6 points. It just didn't matter. Yeah.
The thesis of the play was what it got you to.
Yeah.
It was one of those weeks. I mean, was Danny Amendola in the Millie Maker winner, or was he literally not even played enough to matter? I'll go look at it right now. What do we think? Do we think Danny Amendola was
sub 1% in the Millie?
Danny Amendola was not in the Millie Maker winning lineup. 217 won the Millie Maker this week.
That has to be like the lowest on the year.
And the play that did it was a 0.2% owned two touchdown game from Juwan Jennings. As the Rams bring back, it was a Stafford double. Obviously, the season was going to end with Cooper Kupp winning someone $1 million. Like, there was no way that wasn't happening.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the fantasy playoff MVPs, and I guess it doesn't really extend to week 18, but what Rashad Penny and Amon-Ra St. Brown did over these past 3 weeks was just absolutely insane.
I didn't play Amon-Ra St. Brown one time either.
Will they have equal ADPs next year, like middle of the fifth round?
Well, Penny's a free agent, right? So
they're throwing the bag at him, though.
Penny's going in the top three rounds next year.
Carroll is going to give some of his salary to
Penny. Penny
Carroll might not have a salary next year.
Penny's going where Najee Harris just went.
Oh my god!
Cam Akers.
No.
Cam Akers had 600 yards and four touchdowns a year ago, and he was a first round pick.
I mean, people were slobbering over Chris Carson and he still settled in the fourth.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
And Chris Carson is bad. Chris Carson has never had a run in his life like Rashad Penny just had.
Yeah. Penny's going to go high. No, you're right. He'll go into the third round in high stakes leagues.
So Pete, as a cash game grinder, the last half hour before lock, what was, like, how much of your research this week played into the last
got half thrown hour? Out the window? Yeah.
Well, I'll show you. I could tell too. There's a misconception because on Tuesday I did say Samaje Perine was the free square. A lot of people found that tweet and were replying to it, not understanding that I meant free play for my shell on Tuesday.
For the shell, you know, he was 10% owned in 50 in double ups.
Really?
You moved the needle, Pete.
Dude,
and people
go,
are bad.
I will open up the massive $50 double up right now, and I will tell you guys just how owned he was.
No, holy shit, that can't be true.
But honestly,
go ahead, Pete.
I knew there were no joke. The plays I knew were just locked in. I was like, I know I'm going to play Taysom, and I knew I was going to play Browns D, and then I knew I was going to play Cooper Kupp. Like, those were the three I knew for sure for most of the week. And then everything else, I was like, give me something at inactives. Just like, give me something.
I felt the same way the whole week too.
Did you consider Huntley at all?
I did, but Cardi got me excited about the dome boner. Then Kevin Roth was, you know, sending me stuff about the wind in Pittsburgh. And it just seemed like it wasn't worth the necessary risk there if they were close, just like break ties in favor of the dome there. So I felt pretty comfortable then just locking in Taysom. I had said with Leone when we were building, like, if that, what was it? $400 difference. If that really was needed, 500, that I would be fine coming off of it. But, I really wanted Taysom.
Yeah. I felt the exact same way.
Samaje Perine in the massive $25 double up was 0.7% owned, more than Keyshawn Vaughn, more than Antonio Gibson, more than Sony Michel, more than Alvin Kamara, more than Rashad Penny.
Buddy, there is still an edge. See, you got to get in these cash game streets, man.
The rake, I mean, the rake got paid, one, by me, and then by everyone else who played Samaj Perine.
Well, the thing is everyone, what was it last year? Was it week 16 or week 17 when Mixon sat and Samaje just smashed?
Smashed, yeah. And Gio still got work, or not Travion Williams. Yeah.
It was Evans who had, you're right, Gio. Gio had a good game last year.
They both smashed, and Perine was, but I said that on the Swolecast. I said Perine's like part of their team. They don't want to use him in this game.
That's how I thought the Packers would feel about AJ Dillon, but no.
Yeah. AJ Dillon getting carries when Jordan Love was in was extremely tilting.
So
yeah, we ran good with Patrick Taylor, buddy. We got to throw that one out there.
I want to ask Nate and Sammy a question. I want to talk about the Donta Foreman play. He's a guy I've really enjoyed playing in tournaments this year. I like him a lot. When my cash brain kicked in, I was like, matchup's good. You know, the touches are good. You know, team needs to win. They're motivated. But like, what if he gets game scripted out? Is he going to catch passes? Is he just going to be dust in that area? And so I got ultimately a little spooked on it. What gave you the conviction to use Foreman, even though he wasn't going to project for much pass work?
Honestly, it was the McNichols cut.
Yeah.
Like that made me feel really confident because, you know, they'd been using McNichols some, and he'd been getting work. And all of a sudden it was like, okay, I realize in any spot you have the risk of getting game scripted out, right? Favorites lose, especially like division on the road. But at the end of the day, like Tennessee is an extremely well-coached team. I thought they were going to come in and they were going to bring it and they would be ahead most of the game. And, you know, Foreman has just really been a beast. And I felt good that he'd get 20 carries in this game. So.
And he did.
Same. I mean, I actually thought Hilliard worked in more than I expected. Like looking back on it, I probably was overconfident at lock from what I should have been. Like, I don't think the McNichols thing actually moved the needle as much as I thought it did. Like looking back, I was probably overconfident in Foreman because Hilliard still had plenty of, I didn't pull the data, but Hilliard was.
Hilliard got worked in more than Le'Veon Bell, who you guys were so fucking worried about with Keyshawn Vaughn.
Le'Veon Bell scavenged a touchdown, bro.
He got four touches.
How many did Keyshawn Vaughn get?
14.
I wasn't playing Keyshawn Vaughn here.
Yeah. I mean, and I will say, you got. I mean, when we started sweating earlier and watching Donta Foreman, I mean, I thought it was going to be the quickest coffin ever. I mean, Donta Foreman
that could touchdown have had three. That guy. He literally walked into the freaking end zone. And because of defensive lineman who's in there blocking, I was so tilted. I literally cut away from red zone because I saw the touchdown. I was like, oh, he walked in. And Sammy
you
said,
hit
called back.
The absolute, like looking at his point total, you hit the absolute worst possible outcome if you run that game like that.
Same with Demont, though. I mean, Demont literally had 20 rushing.
Nah, losers stay losers. Losers stay losers. David Montgomery gets 25 touches and 9 points all the time. It's what he does.
When you're running projections, you basically just have to bump his efficiency down to like 2.4 per carry.
I already have Demont projected for like 2.4 yards per carry, and he still averages out. Anything with Demont is just like if he gets 5 yards on a run, like that's just cherry on top. He already is going to hit value based on the volume.
This David Montgomery game log stuff is like the reverse of Rashad Penny. It's like he's going on this run of like all this work. He's got 20 carries for 72 yards, 22 carries for 64 yards, 21 for 45, 18 for 60, 21 for 90. His last 100-yard game came in week 4. I mean,
he's so fat and slow. Like,
dude, do you know what's so tilting, David? Like, we go all summer, just fade the shit out of David Montgomery in season long, in high stakes.
And then immediately?
No, and then DFS rolls around, and I just fucking fade him as chalk every single week. Fade, fade, fade. Then week 18 rolls around. It's finally my turn to get in on some of this David Montgomery goodness. And then he fucking does what I know what he is. David Montgomery is who we thought he was. He's a fucking 9.9 dustball snowflake in my lineup.
And these dust ball snowflakes, I caught on to the David Montgomery is a workhorse trend before Nate did, and I played him against someone terrible. I think Baltimore. I played him against.
You played him again over somebody good.
Yeah, Davis, that was.
I'm sure I did. Sometimes I'm sure you guys are wrong.
Sometimes it's a little more of a feel game, Davis.
My boy's right. It's a little bit more of an art, buddy.
Well, I wish also, I just, another thing in retrospect, isn't it weird that we were all rushing in to jam Jonathan Taylor when Alvin Kamara was right there with Mark Ingram, probably not playing for $1,000 cheaper? Is that something that we should have considered before it was late swap time?
Is this Davis setting himself for his own victory lap here?
No, it didn't even work. It didn't even work.
Isn't it something we all should have been considering, but only one of us did?
No, I didn't consider him at all. I didn't consider him all pre-lock. I played Jonathan Taylor, who sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Davis hit enlightenment after lock. It
wasn't before. I literally did not consider for Alvin Kamara for a second until Jonathan Taylor had already submarined me.
The thing is, in the 2021 season, the players of the season, obviously Amon-Ra and Penny here in the playoffs, but it was Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, right? Yeah. No, you're right. Sometimes it's that simple.
Would you say, I think what you're, Kamara was analogous. Kamara was to Taylor as Jefferson was to Kupp on this slate. Is that your take?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think it's like a Kupp, fair take. Kupp was like dollars per point, we had ETR did and DR had Justin Jefferson better. And we had Kamara for almost the same points per dollar. But they also, I've been projecting Jonathan Taylor with like a 9.5% target share, which is like what his season average is, but it's not been what they've been doing with him at all. Actually, like
the last 6 weeks has been bad.
Like 4% target share is maybe even a little bit better. So I don't know.
No. That it's really, I mean, one of the reasons why I didn't go to Jonathan Taylor is it's just like, man, he's just not catching the passes. And obviously he could go for 180 and three. Like, I thought that was squarely in the range, but
David, yeah. I can't like get, I mean, your team without this swap.
That's what I'm saying. Davis, you were literally 20 points below the cash line. I don't know what you're saying of like, you didn't need to swap. You swapped against Tyler Lockett, who got 27 points, sir, and you still are 10 points below the cap.
Sir, against Huntley teams. You were not listening to me. Which obviously I'm never doing. I've never once in my life have gone through all my like $5 head to heads, been like, okay, I'll swap this one and up. Like, I'll leave that for Leone. Like, that's much more of like an accounting thing. Like, Leone would like find joy in that and like running the Sims and being like, all right, I'm gonna swap in this head to head, but not in this one.
I fucking hate cash games. This is so fucking stupid.
It's just, the thing is it's so time. It's so time and mental energy intensive for something that is basically flipping a coin against a stranger. You know,
but at the end of the year, that 10% ROI is so good.
Yeah, when you run it through 18 weeks of little Sklansky bucks, Pete, at the end you end up with a whole bunch of money. It's great.
The issue is it's 100% ROI for my opponents this week is what it appears to be.
Pete, but here's the thing. I bet you didn't think of this until right now. This is you giving back to your community. You can market this as giving back to the people who support the Deposit Kingdom.
2021 was a tough year for your people, and you just wanted to start 2022 with a little bit of gifting.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate, and it is a tax write-off. You know, just trying to get my DraftKings tax liability down real quick to start the year.
Well, you're starting out like you bought yourself like your first bink. You're going to be like, all right, we're all good.
Exactly. So no, it is nice to give back to the community, and I appreciate them watching and being so active and stuff. And like, the least I could do is give them some soft action in a head to head.
Well, I just updated my spreadsheet with today's numbers, and after getting fairly smoked today, I'm down to a 6.84% ROI on
that's
the year
a stable
in cash.
Coin, baby.
I mean, I would have just been better off buying a fucking cartoon picture of a cat.
Yeah, but you gotta
also include the crowns though.
Yeah.
The DJ reward.
That's true. That's true. And I even emailed the DK rep that I know and was like, you know, this new crown system, I'm actually like going to be about 20,000 crowns short of the diamond tier. Like, can you guys just go ahead and bump me up? Like, I'm a good soldier for DraftKings. And they did.
Did they really?
I'm sure they love you saying that publicly, too.
Everyone's fired up there. Davis is going to open up a DraftKings account tomorrow and realize he got bumped back down.
Oh, well, buddy. So we got to take the victories where we can get them.
My DK rep is not going to be happy with me because we've been doing the rake free tournament, you know, 400 man. It's been filling up. I asked him to do a rake free double up this week and it did not fill up. Nate, were you in my rake free double?
No, I didn't know there was a rake free.
Come
double
on, Nate, yeah. That was built for you.
I didn't know either.
I didn't, Pete. I didn't enter it. Normally, dude, I do. Like,
that's down my lane. I love finding those.
I know. Well, normally I threaten, so I keep it for like in the show notes and then Discord. And then if it doesn't fill, I threaten to take it to Twitter, but I was too distracted arguing with, you know, Leone about Donta Foreman. David Bakker, that I forgot to tweet it out.
Welcome to Cash Games, Pete.
Yeah. Wait, do you guys play like next week? You know, wild card round. Are you guys gonna play fucking cash?
They fucking ruined it, man. They moved they moved one of the games to Monday, so it's only gonna be two game slates and then a one game slate.
Yeah.
Wait, is divisional round gonna be like that too? Or are they gonna do a
It's only wild card weekend.
Okay. Yeah.
Here.
It for me. I probably will play very little cash games.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're gonna be showdown bros from here.
It's gonna be so next weekend it is. I'll probably play cash for the three gamer on Sunday. They'll probably get my there. Well, I don't know.
Is Pittsburgh maybe playing?
It's not. I don't see that yet. I don't think it's announced yet. But there's two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and one game on Monday. But obviously the nuts was the four gamer on Sunday.
Yeah,
used to be nice.
That was fun.
It's tough. Are we going to do the GoCast anymore, or is this it?
No, we should still do it, right?
Well, your guys' pre-Super Bowl show, that's a legendary episode. The Sammy IDP props.
Oh, yeah. I've been grinding already. Like, I'm ready
to
go.
We will definitely do the pre-Super Bowl show.
Did you guys see Jordan Brooks had 16 tackles today for Seattle with Bobby Wagner out?
No, Sammy, no one saw that.
Buddy.
Sammy, did you the one year when they had defensive players in showdown, did you get rich that year? Was that what you bought all your Bitcoin with?
Nah, I wish. Missed opportunity.
Peter, do you know that the only reason these two chuckleheads even bought crypto to begin with is because they're friends with me?
I mean,
and now Nate is like the biggest in our private chat. Nate is like the biggest BTC maxi in the world. Like, Nate is basically Pierre Rochard.
I was gonna say, do you only eat steak?
Yes. You think you're joking, but like, Nate is that guy.
No, Nate's into privacy coins, bro.
I'm also, I do have some privacy coins, but yeah, I'm a carnivore. I'm full on.
Tell me what you think about NFTs, Nate.
I have some top shots, but
that is the BTC maxi of NFTs right there.
Dude, the Top Shot haters are furious. It just continues to be. They just continue to build on top of the system.
A Tyler Hero that I listed like a year ago finally sold today. Dude, a rising star Tyler Hero.
Business is booming, buddy.
Business is booming. I haven't checked.
I need Zion Williamson to get unfat.
Zion Williamson needs to get into Bitcoin and go on that carnivore diet.
Peter and I co-own a Zion, and I messaged him and Karain about listing it like 2 months ago, probably, when it started to peak up again a little bit before it became clear that Zion was a fat load. And I bet the low ask on that from the time I messaged you, I bet it's down like $3,000. It's gotta be. Do you follow the NBA at all because of Top Shot now? Or is it mostly an investment vehicle at this point?
It definitely hasn't been an investment vehicle.
Tax loss harvesting vehicle.
It's hard. I mean, maybe now that NFL's winding down, I'll pay a little bit more attention. I enjoy the playoffs, but yeah, I have like a completist kind of mindset sometimes, so I just don't have it in me.
I think I would legit play NBA DFS if they had a single lock with no late swap.
Dude,
no, you wouldn't.
If you think NFL cash games?
No, no, you just, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear my caveat. If there wasn't late swap, if everyone had a universal lock.
It literally would be unplayable this year.
What do you mean?
It's like, if you think COVID and stuff is bad in the NFL, it is like beyond unbelievable. No,
I know it is, but everyone's lineup would lock at the exact same time.
But the amount of zeros you would lock in on a nightly basis.
You would take, FanDuel used to do this. Like 4 seasons ago, FanDuel did this and you dropped
everyone
your lowest.
Off.
Everyone got pissed off, but you dropped your lowest score. So if you took a zero, didn't matter.
But our family time went through the roof. We were smelling the roses.
Well, Pete's buddy Aguiar. I wonder if he ever regrets that tweet. Probably not. He's too rich.
He's too rich. He doesn't care.
He's just eating.
Did I tell you I bumped into him when I was in New York?
Yeah, is he a fan of the show?
I don't think he was familiar with the show. I don't think he was familiar.
He didn't get the bit.
No, he was living life though, man. He was having a great time.
Do we want to get out of here? Are we good?
Yeah, dude, we're not going to talk about our tournament lineups that Pete didn't play.
Oh, sure. I mean, I just went through mine. I played a 5% on Josh Allen. He didn't do shit. Stephon Diggs got like 17 points. He didn't do shit. My heart wasn't in it. As Pete said, my heart was not. It was cash game week.
How about this? Sammy meet Megan. Megan meet Sammy.
Hey, Megan. Jeez, Megan. How you doing?
Jesus.
You want to hang out?
I mean, come on. Coming in so hot here. Jeez, we have guests on our channel.
Yeah, they don't know what we're about.
Hey, come on. This is how Sammy gets on all the alpha plays. This is how you ship the format.
How you play. That sounds like someone who's salty they didn't play Marvin Jones
Jr. Sorry, Megan. Sorry for the L this week.
Yeah, no, sorry about Allen Robinson, Megan.
That reminded me, I think people were posting in the chat last year, cash game week was the Marvin Jones explosion.
But we played LaVisca.
We played Visca and didn't Marv go for like, wasn't it had, 45
I think,
or something?
I think he had,
I probably
I think
played
had,
Marvin. I probably played Marvin and you fools probably played Visca.
No, I think you lost in cash game week last year, Nate.
I actually won in cash game week last year.
Yeah, eight for 180 and 2 for Marvin Jones last year in cash game week.
Oh, buddy, buddy.
Pull up the bankroll.
I didn't even think about that. Like,
but Pete LaVisca, do you remember he scored that bullshit touchdown?
Yes. His touchdowns are bullshit, but
it bounced off of someone's helmet and he caught it.
Is it 3 career touchdowns that he has, or is it fewer?
I think 3 sounds right because he's at 0 for the year.
Yeah.
No, he had 5 last year. Weirdly enough, 58 receptions last year, 58 this year, 0 touchdowns.
So it's kind of a DJ Moore situation.
Yeah.
He's going to be this year's Meikle, where he's so much cheaper than where he was last year that we talk ourselves
Martingale.
Into it. And then he birds us again.
So then, that goes then. LaVisca will then be like 12th, 13th round this year.
Yeah.
And then he'll be 18th round next year. So in my experience, the
he's
move
on the
is
Patterson trajectory.
I hope so. The move is to skip the 12th, 13th round when he gives you nothing. Yeah. The move is to wait until next year where I'm going to be able to take Mecole Hardman in the 18th round every time on underdog. Easy game.
Mecole Hardman in the 18th. I'm still sprinkling in a little Mecole in my playoff best balls, you know.
Why wouldn't you? Do it.
I mean, if Marvin smashes every year in cash game week. Oh, wait, best ball ends a week early, right?
Yeah.
Ah, damn. Damn.
It's a tough scene.
What are you going to do? I also played a Josh Allen stack. I don't want to talk about it. Screw it.
Yeah, Nate, what did we all do Josh Allen stacks? We all have loser Josh Allen?
No, I had a better loser. I had Jimmy Garoppolo, Debo Samuel, George Kittle stack with a Tyler Higbee bring back.
Ooh, wow, so you're rich.
That's actually kind of
no,
sexy.
No, Garoppolo.
Get Jennings in there and you're good.
Well, I also
because
played.
Debo threw one of the touchdowns. Yeah. So he tucked his quarterback.
Yeah, and Kittle put up Snowflake 6.
Davis, do you have
Kittle
any
10 reception yards?
Davis, you want to offer an apology to Russell Gage? I remember some slanderous tweets about him this offseason.
Dude, Russell Gage has been.
Remember the week? Was it just me that played him in cash when he got zero targets?
It was just you.
Since that point, he's been like wide receiver 4. I mean, it's just so
the thing about Russell Gage is Calvin Ridley's going to get traded or whatever. Russell Gage is going to be going like in like the 6th round of the underdog drafts next year, and I will just tell you all that you can enjoy that. I hope you guys have a great time.
No.
I mean the sixth round of underdog next year is going to be like wide receiver 48. Sammy,
he'll be like the Jarvis Landry price this year.
Yep. And I'll have none of that.
Where's Calvin Ridley going to go?
Jets. Give him a big fat contract. He can go play with Zach Wilson.
He probably drops. He's probably like a 4th rounder, right?
I'm saying, like, team. Who's he playing for next year?
He's like 33 years old, so.
Calvin Ridley.
That's a Rotoviz joke. No one even understands that joke, but he is actually kind of old.
No, Calvin Ridley's just odd because he's so small. Like,
he's super skinny.
Yeah, it's a weird archetype, like body archetype to be.
He is going to be 28 though.
But nobody, I mean, no matter where he goes, like nobody will trust him not to dip out in the middle of the year anyway. So like his price will not be high.
Yeah, he will be cheap. Yeah. All right. Who wins the Super Bowl, Sammy?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Terrible take.
Are you even happy that they made the playoffs? Does that even bring you joy?
No, I'm not. I mean, okay. The last vestiges of my like fandom did like I felt something in my gut when
as they were winning
in his last game had a drive in overtime and converting fourth downs against the arch rival Baltimore Ravens in their house to put the Steelers in the playoffs. Like I definitely did feel something emotional there. I'll be honest.
So he's gonna listen to a Mike Tomlin press conference as he goes to sleep.
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm gonna inject it into my veins. Like
Nate, you really think it's the Bills over the Chiefs?
I do. I think the Bills D. I think the Bills like have actually figured something out. The way that they can just move the ball offensively, and I think their defense is strong enough. I think overall the Bills are the best team.
You guys, it's the Tennessee Titans, probably.
It is not the freaking Tennessee Titans, no. Sammy.
David Kitchen is not.
Hear ye. Derrick Henry coming off the IR.
You know what's crazy? Super well coached, and their defensive line is a complete beast. Like, and they have home field.
Davis, you also know what's happening, and we're going to be talking about the FFPC playoff challenge coming up. But now that JT isn't available for the Boomers, I mean, Derrick Henry's going to be mega owned.
Oh, you love to see it. And we're just gonna rake in a 9 for 182 and 1 from AJ Brown in a Titans close playoff loss.
Yeah,
you love to see it.
I don't know. I kind of like the Packers. I think if I were to take a NFC team,
so it's gonna be the Chiefs, guys. Like, what are we doing? Pending that Tyreek and Travis Kelce both got hurt on Saturday, so pending.
The Chiefs are meat, bro.
I just think the Chiefs are like the Patriots, but if they had Patrick Mahomes, which is a pretty good team.
I'm surprised nobody said Cowboys. If it's not the Bills,
it's not the Cowboys. Let me put that on the record right now. They are going to go into Lambeau and get their asses whooped so bad it's going to be embarrassing for everyone involved.
No, if it's not the Bills, it's the Cowboys.
What if Zeke gets hurt and it's
Super Bowl favorites, immediate Super Bowl favorites. There, if you guys follow Cowboy Stats, he does this.
I thought you meant in general, like the concept. Do you follow Cowboy Stats?
No, this it's actually a good Twitter account. he has this thing. He tracks Zeke's negative EPA in the games that the Cowboys lose, and basically, it's like almost universal that if Zeke just was on the sideline and wasn't given a single carry, the EPA would add up that the Cowboys should have won every game. Like it's just like, cause every Zeke play is like close to negative 0.5 EPA. It's that bad.
I believe it. Well, look forward to the drafts next year. Cause he got his 1,000 yards. So he has that nice 1,000 yard looking stat. He's got 10 touchdowns. People are going to be like, hey, Zeke, still gets it done.
John Daigle's already writing his content for next offseason. Pete, let's get out of here, bud.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys having me on the Gilcast, an annual tradition. Congratulations again. You, the better team won. You guys put out a great squad. And, you know, I have a long time. I have what, 365 days to kind of reevaluate my cash game shell. You know, I talked a lot about mental shell this week. I think my mental shell wasn't where it needed to be, guys. And, I got to work on that.
Well, you know, our thoughts will be with you and, you know, next year we don't have to play. Maybe we'll find another podcast to play against. Maybe there's like another entity out there. That way you can get in the group chat. Maybe.
Yeah, I know. I do. I mean, part of what made Cash Game Week so special
is the camaraderie.
And I do feel that I missed out on that, and that's on me, guys. I shouldn't have let that, you know, come between our group chat.
Well, it's been a big year for you, Pete. You've grown a lot. You made a lot of connections, influenced a lot of people, and I understand you're spread pretty thin these days. So yeah.
I should have gone into the group chat and influenced you guys to play some Ajay Pirine.
Might have worked on me.
I still
that is a Davis play.
Yeah,
he went Derek to the University of Oklahoma.
If you've never seen the video of Samaje Perine getting engaged, he used a magician to propose to his girlfriend. It's a very good video. I highly recommend it. I did those Derek Carty DMs, you know, because I was DMing him because he came on my show on Friday. But to get like Sunday before lock DMs from Derek Carty asking me my feel, I was like,
this no, it's because you entered into, dude, you were in the secret lineup group. Like Cardi's a part of the secret lineup group, so like it's a chain.
Yeah.
And you were in it this week, so of course Cardi would reach out to you.
You know what? Levy didn't reach out to me though. I think he
Levy never reaches out. He never reaches out pre-lock. Levitan never reaches out pre-lock. If you get anything from Levitan, it comes through Wiggins.
Yeah, it's haven't made it into that circle of trust yet, and rightfully so.
They don't like bits. Those guys, they're too busy. they're too busy posting Amon Ross St. Brown like player props
This was all fair. Levitan became King GPP bro, which was like literally my bit, so I could become the cash game king for a week. All is fair in love and war.
He said he hoped that you lost every cent.
Every penny.
And buddy, he got his wish.
The funny thing is he wrote that tweet as if he doesn't remember me doing this entire bit last year, doing the same exact
thing. I'm sure he doesn't. I guarantee he doesn't. I guarantee Levitan's awareness of your programming is such that he thought it was brand new.
This year he couldn't escape it. All right, land the plane, Davis.
All right, everyone, Gilcast, thanks for listening. We will maybe be back next week if we feel like it.